We're going to continue talking about the inner man and outer man, that which you have now that you're born again. Many Christians live their life not understanding who they really are in Christ. Many of our statements are nice statements, but we don't comprehend the power, the possibilities that we have now that we're born again. Many Christians, they sign up for God. They say, I no longer go to the bar, I go to the church. I no longer drink, I worship at the altar. And it's like they signed up for a church. But you didn't just sign up for church, you became a new creation. And I think the picture of the inner man, outer man really comes down to how much of a new creation have you become. Let's look over in 2 Corinthians. We'll start there. And we'll just start in chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, the motto of a lot of Christians, the way they take this verse, meaning old things have passed away. I'm no longer the sinner. All my old mistakes are under the blood. And I have a new opportunities ahead of me. And so they look at this kind of like, that old stuff I did, it's under the blood, it's forgiven. I remember being in church services where a prophet would come out and start to prophesy on one side of the church. I'd be sitting on the other side. It'd be one of those kind of aggressive, strong prophets. You know, you stand up, you've been sinning. You need to quit sinning. You stand up. You've been playing with sin. Stop sinning. And he'd begin to work down the line, calling people out. Well, I'd be on the other side of the church, and I'd start repenting. Oh, God, please forgive me of all my sins. Wash me white as snow. You've taken my sins, and you throw them as far as the east is from the west, into the deepest of the seas. You can't remember how I sinned, God, because I'm forgiven and washed by the blood. And I'd be over there repenting. And when the prophet got closer to me, I'd say, now, God, you can't tell the prophet what I did yesterday because it's under the blood. You know, and so many people take this verse as meaning my old mistakes, my old past is behind me. Now I have a new opportunities of life ahead of me. Old things are passed away. So it says, you used to drink. You're divorced. You went bankrupt. You used to do this. Oh, old things have passed away, brother. All things have become new. But look what it says here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. And all things have become new. See, this isn't talking about your past particularly. Although you can use that, it's fine. But really what it's talking about is the old you, the person you were before you were born again. He describes all of this in the chapters previous. Chapter 3, 4, and 5 talks about the inner man and the outward man. We'll get into that soon. These chapters are really incredible when you find the picture of the new nature in here, in the inner man, the mind of the spirit, and the outward body, the outward man. Most Christians live by the model of I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. And so their interpretation of who they are is parts of them got saved, but other parts didn't. The best I've heard is someone say, well, my inner man is the body. That's the body. It's my fingers and toes. That got saved. My outward man body did not get saved. And that's what's being replaced, the fingers and toes and the hair. And then they leave the soul as not saved. The soul we call the mind, will, and emotions. And these next few sessions are really going to get into the picture of the mind, will, and emotions of a person. And what really happened when you got born again. Now, the people of the spirit, soul, and body, I assume they believe that part of them didn't get saved and needs to be fixed, needs to be repaired, and that's the mind and emotions, the part of the soul. They feel the soul's connected to both worlds. One soul connected to both worlds. And so I guess the soul part didn't get saved, and that's why it must be fixed or transformed. But now I have this soul that needs to be fixed. Now, when we talk about the mind, let's just, as simple as possible, talk about the mind. The mind is a place, we would say, maybe you can agree, the mind is a place where we hold information, hold knowledge. That'd be the place that holds knowledge. The mind is a place that holds knowledge. I don't know if you agree with that. I mean, it's very simple, but can we agree that when I take my dog and teach it a trick, it remembers that trick if it wants a treat. Sit. The dog remembers how to sit. I taught my dog how to sit. So where does he hold that information? In his hand, in his foot? Where does that dog hold that information? Well, we know it's in his mind, that all information is held, contained within the mind of a creature. So when we talk about us as humans, we're much more complex than animals. You have a spiritual body. Every human is born with a spiritual body and a natural body, and they go together perfectly. When you get born again, your inner man, the spiritual body, comes to life. It becomes alive. It is saved. The new nature in it came to life. We call it the reborn human spirit. See, the human spirit is the inner man, and it's reborn because it now has a new nature in it. It now is born again. Your outward man is left in darkness and death. That's why we need a trumpet to sound, and all of us will get a new outward body. And that's kind of the defining difference between the two models. See, the model of the inner man, outward man, implies that you have a brand new inner man that's fully equipped with a mind, emotions, and desires or will that really is of righteousness of God and in perfect union with God, but it's immature, must grow up. See, but you're still wearing the outward man, which also has its natural carnal mind, emotions, and desires. And that's who you, that's what we call the flesh. See, where are the desires of the outward man come from? Bible says, lift up holy hands. Well, that means my hands are not used to steal, to fornicate. They're used only for holiness. Well, where does the desire to do evil come from? Is it my hands that I need to deal with? Do I need to cut off my hands so if I can't stop? Well, the problem isn't your hands. Your hands is just meat. It doesn't have agendas. The soul of a man, or we call the flesh, is where the desires come from. And you have desires in your outward man that haven't been saved yet. So now your job is to mortify them. Many Christians are trying to fix their outward man, and really they're supposed to be mortifying them. So if you will, just let's take a few minutes and go back to our drawings. If you haven't done this yet, we'll do some drawings here of the inner man and outward man. Now, the inner man model comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. So the outward man is perishing. Yet, the inward man is being renewed day by day. So the inner man is where renewal takes place. Now this is important in this picture because if you try to renew the outward man, it can't be renewed because it's not of God. See, a child of God is a whole new family. a family that never existed before. It's not of this earth. It's of the new earth. God has created a family for the new earth and the new heavens. And Jesus was the firstborn of that family. Now you, when you were born again, went from being one species, the species of Adam. Adam's family is a species of darkness, carnality. It's a species of this earth. But when you got born again, God rebirthed you and made you a new creation. And that's why I feel this is so important, this picture of the inner man, outward man, because it tells you that you really did become a new creation, not just parts of you, but all of you became a new creation. A new creation, a new species, a higher species of the new earth and the new heavens, of righteousness and light. How different is a human being from a child of God in the new creation? As different as light is from darkness. That's how different you'll be when you're standing on the new earth compared to you, who you were before you were born again. The difference is light from dark. It's a vast difference. And so, in your theology, do you believe you became a new creation, a new creature? And then, what does that look like to you? How much of you became new and how much of you didn't? And what does God expect for you to do with the parts that didn't become new, to fix them up? It's like taking a worm, which in the Old Testament was how they called themselves. I'm but a worm to God. And inserting, see, people who understand the new nature can think that I got a new nature. God inserted a new nature into me, and now I'm supposed to live for Him. And so, did He make you a new creature or not? So if you take a worm and you make it, give it the nature of, say, an eagle, a different species, a higher species, and you insert the nature of an eagle into a worm body, that little worm will wake up and go, I'm an eagle. And all his friends will laugh at him and say, oh, you're not an eagle. I'm an eagle. I've been created anew. I'm a new eagle. I'm an eagle. Hallelujah. And then it'll want to fly. It'll try to fly. Eagles can fly. But yet it has the body of a worm. And so is it fair for the Creator to take a worm, give it the nature of an eagle, and say, now be an eagle. Fly. Without giving it the equipment, the body, to fly. That's similar to Christianity. How much of a new creation have you become? When you were born again, God could not rest or fix the human race. The human race was ruined for all of eternity by Adam's sin. And from Adam all the way to Jesus, man lived in darkness. Until Bethlehem, there's little bright light shone inside of a baby, Jesus. Jesus was born inside the human race, inside the people of Israel. However, he was not of them. His nature was of God, and his inner man was of God. He lived his whole life without sin, but tempted in every way. Well, where did that temptation come from? See, his outward man was still of this earth, but his inner man was of God. He is a prototype of you and I while we're on this earth. We have an inner man born of God, an outward man still of this earth. Now, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. So what equipment did God add to you at your salvation? Did he just give you a nature of Christ, and have you born again with a new nature, with all the instincts and instructions of walking as a child of God? without equipping you to walk as a child of God? Did he just give you an instruction book and said, act like this? Or did he really equip you and make you a new creature? And that's part of my issue with the, I'm a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. I think what they're saying, or some of them are saying, is that their inner body is the spirit, their inner body. It's hard because so many people have different opinions. And so I don't want to describe all the opinions, but I think the general consensus is my inner body, fingers and toes, is now saved, but my outward body is not fingers and toes. It's still of this world, of meat, of earth. But my soul, mind, will, and emotions, what makes me, it hasn't been saved. I have to renew it and fix it. So they're saying that part of them wasn't saved. And I understand if you just feel like, if you look at yourself and you say, well, yeah, I've been saved, but I still don't feel saved in some areas. And so I can understand that, but I want to get you past the intellectual thinking of the carnal man and begin to see a picture that your inner man has the equipment of a mind, a spiritual mind that was given to you and born again, came to life and in righteousness, the new man. And it has the ability to hold the things of God. He equipped you with that. Your outward man was left. You're stuck with this outward man. I'm sure the main reason is because if he were to give you a new outward body the moment you were saved, you go right to heaven. And you wouldn't be any good to rescue your family or your city. It'd be kind of a difficult way to build a church if everyone got saved and they just said the Lord's Prayer, got saved, thank you, Jesus, ask you into my heart, and then boom, they died and went to heaven. It'd be kind of a hard to get people to come to your church if that was how it worked. So he leaves you, he birthed you inside of this outward man. The outward man is still from Adam. It has its mind, its emotions, its desires that want the things of this world. But you became a new creature, meaning in the inner man, outward man model, your inner man was born of God, a whole new creature, a brand new creation that never existed before. It's the miracle of salvation. God didn't just give you a list of instructions. He made you his child. He birthed you as his child. And from that, you have his same DNA, in essence, in your inner man. And he equipped you with everything you need to mature and grow and understand him. See, the inner man is of God. The outward man's of this earth. They're two separate species. They're from two different places. So let's do our little picture just to help you see the way I see it. And again, I'm preaching this as personal insight. However you believe, as long as you're praying in tongues and worshiping God, you're going to get everything you need from him that way. But when you see this, if you can see it the way I see it, it makes sense. The scripture begins to open up. It makes sense why praying in tongues is so important to the church and to you personally. So take a little piece of paper and draw a picture, a man or a woman. Draw a head and a body with a little stick figure with hands, arms, and legs. That's you. Now, that's your inner man. Every child is born with an inner man, a spiritual body. Now, draw on top of that the outward man, right on top. It's an exact copy. Sit right on top, arms and legs, and they're in perfect unity. This is before you were saved. Before you were saved, your inner man, outward man were in perfect unity. And see, we know, every believer knows, that we have an inner man that came to life. Most people do anyway. And so some people are happy to describe it as, yeah, my fingers and toes, I have a spiritual body of fingers and toes and an outward body of fingers and toes. And my inner body got saved when I got born again. So now I have a lit up inner body with fingers and toes and a new nature in there. And an outward body of fingers and toes. But my mind, will, and emotions stayed the same. It doesn't make sense. So that part of you, the most important part of your, of where you make decisions from, where you keep knowledge from, wasn't born again. And that's my goal in this series, is to try to show to you that you are completely a new creature, and that God is, has already equipped you with everything you need to understand Him, to learn who He is, to love like He loves, to have peace like He has. You've already been equipped with that. You truly are a new creature. And that God isn't telling us in the picture of inner man, outward man model. God is not telling us to repair the outward man and live from the outward man. He's telling us to build up the inner man and live from that place. So, before you were saved, you had an inner man and an outward man, and they were in perfect unity, in perfect darkness. You had a nature in there of darkness. You had a mind of darkness, and it was paired with your outward mind, also trained in darkness. And every thought was in unity. Pastor Dave would teach it as cell for cell. Your inner man is connected to your outward man. Cell for cell. Now that you're born again, the picture changes, okay? I won't go into all the scriptures because I've already laid these down in the previous few messages. But let's draw out another picture of you now that you're born again. Draw your an inner man, that's you, little circle for the head and arms and legs. And then draw an outward man, just go over about an inch and draw another picture identical with the head, arms and legs and a body. That's your outward man. So now you have an inner man and an outward man, but now they're not on top of each other. They're separate. They're different. They're described differently. One is perishing. One is being renewed day by day. And so your inner man was born again, brought to light, quickened, but it came into existence like with the knowledge of a newborn baby. It used to have all the knowledge of it, of darkness in the spiritual realm connected to your outward man, but all that knowledge it held was of darkness. And it got quickened. It became a new person, a new inner body. Now that mind is like a newborn baby. It's been emptied. It's been quickened from darkness to light. It's a new creature. That's why the renewal of knowledge is in the inner man, because it used to have knowledge in there. Renewal means to rebuild. Rebuild from something that was already there. In fact, if you look it up, renewed here in this verse, verse 16, it implies a maturing, a growing of knowledge from something that used to be there, but now is now changed. It doesn't say build up the knowledge. It says renew. Well, what am I trying to renew? I'm trying to reestablish knowledge in my inner man's mind, because now it is brought to life, but all that used to be there is gone. So now we want to rebuild that knowledge from light. The inner man only wants knowledge from God. It only feeds off of knowledge from God. It only feeds off of the Word of God. So you have an outward man right next to your inner man. The outward man is in darkness. The inner man is in light. Now draw a line between the heads. That's the mind. And then a line between the hearts. That's the emotions. And then if you will draw a line on the bottom by the feet, and we'll call that the desires. Okay? Your inner man has desires now that you're born again. It desires to know God. It desires the will of God. It desires knowledge from God. It has desires. Your outward man also has desires. Desires for sometimes sin, sometimes things that are of this earth. The emotions, we connect them at the heart. The emotions meaning you have a place of emotions in your outward man, of a love of this earth, a joy of this earth, and it can only go as high as this earth is. It also has emotions of hatred, anger, jealousies. But if you look at the inner man, it also has a heart, you might say a place, a home for emotions, where you can have the love of Christ, which is a billion times higher, deeper, more potent than the love on this earth. You can have the peace of Christ, a peace that is much deeper than the peace you can find on this earth. You have a joy, a spiritual joy, and you have a place to hold these things. That is what we call the heart. You also have a mind, a spiritual mind, that wants to be filled with knowledge that comes from God. That spiritual mind is still inside the natural mind, the outward mind, the carnal mind. The carnal mind has intellect and plans and thoughts and knowledge of this earth. I'll give you a little example here. With the idea that all animals are of this earth, they don't have spiritual bodies. They're of this earth. If you look at any animal, any insect, you can take a fruit fly. You know you can train a fruit fly. You can train fleas. They took a jar of fleas and placed them in this jar, and they were jumping up and out, way above the jar. And they put the lid on the jar and let them spend 24 hours jumping and hid their heads on the lid. These are fleas. There's little brains in fleas. And how smart are humans when you compare it to a flea? Well, a little flea jumps up and down and hits its head on the top of the jar. And then you remove the jar lid, and that little flea will not jump higher than the lid that used to be there, because you've trained it that that's as high as it can go. And not only that, it'll never jump higher than that the rest of its little life. I don't know how long fleas live, but the rest of its little life, that poor flea, I don't like fleas, but that poor ugly flea won't jump higher because it's been trained. It remembered, I can only jump so high. Well, not only that, it also will pass it down to the next generation. The little flea babies they make, I don't know how they make babies, but they make babies. Little flea babies that they make instinctively won't jump higher than what its parents did. So even a flea has a mind, a place to hold knowledge. I have a couple of dogs. We love our little dogs. We don't like cats, or at least I don't like cats. My daughter likes cats. I don't like cats. But little dogs, we love our little dogs, but they have personalities. One's really tough. He's older now. He doesn't have all his teeth, but he's still tough. He'll think he's the alpha male, but the younger one's kind of pushing the boundaries because he found out that the mean older dog has a lot of bark but no bite because he's got no teeth, so he's not afraid of them anymore. But we have an older dog that's strong-willed, and we got him because we had young kids at the time, and we needed a little dog that would be able to handle a young Harrison running around playing with him. And his name is Yoshi. Harrison named him Yoshi. And Yoshi is tough as nails still. And then we got another one to be a friend with Yoshi, a little schnauzer, and he is the sweetest dog, loving dog. He loves me a lot. And Yoshi's all about Christy, of course, but the schnauzer loves me. And they have complete different personalities. And you'll look at a dog or an animal, every animal, people who love horses understand this. Cattlemen understand that some cattle are nice, some are mean, some are caring, some are thoughtful, some are just selfish. You find all these personality traits in every type of animal. An animal has a soul, a mind, a will and emotions that drive it. Now, that animal is made of meat and fur. That's it. There's no spirit in it. It has just a natural mind, a natural set of emotions, and natural desires. It has desires to eat, has desire to procreate, it has desires for fellowship, to community. It's similar to human, but it's much lower than a human. The ability of a dog's intellect is much higher than a flea's intellect because it's a different species. So a dog's ability to fellowship with me, a higher intellect, is limited because it's a dog. We used our first dog when Chris and I got married, before we had kids. Her name was Maddie. She was a little miniature Yorkie. And Maddie loved me, loved Christy. And we didn't have children. We just got married. And she thought she was our child. And we acted like it. We were those people. I can't believe, I'm embarrassed. I'd be laying on the couch and my arm would be numb. And I think, well, I got to move my arm, but I can't because my dog was sleeping on my arm cuddling. I think, well, I can't move my arm because I don't want to disturb Maddie. And I have to remind myself, man up, that's a dog. Maddie, move. And so we loved him. We talk about Maddie and our friends and say, you two need children. You're talking way too much about your dog. You need some kids. Well, we loved Maddie and Maddie loved us. And Maddie actually thought she was our child. We had another dog in our early years, another miniature Yorkie. Spencer was his name. He had short little legs. Maddie could jump and run. Spencer, he didn't like to run, and he couldn't jump for anything. We'd sit on the couch, and Maddie would jump on to our lap like a rabbit. And Spencer, he would walk up to the couch and lift up his nose and find the landing pad, and then he'd back up and then run with all his might and launch himself and bounce onto the couch to sit with us, the sofa, because really that's the only way he could jump with those little legs. And I remember sitting there with Maddie on my lap, and Spencer walked up, and little short-legged Spencer walked up and lifted up his nose to find his landing pad. He backed up, and got ready to launch, run as fast as he could. And Maddie, she walked over to his landing pad and stood there and blocked him where he couldn't get on the couch. She didn't want to share me with Spencer. And then Maddie turned her head the other way as if she didn't do it on purpose. Right then I thought, man, I know some people that are just like you, Maddie. See, I found the same thing in our dogs. I found emotions of jealousy, conniving. I found emotions of love, of fear, of anger, emotions of loyalty, all in an animal. An animal that's made of meat of this earth has no spirit in it. Its soul is of the earth, of meat. That's an incredible creation that God did in animals, is he gave them the ability to have emotions. See, those emotions inside of an animal, they're chemical emotions. Chemical emotions of testosterone, there's hormones, there's emotions of fear. The natural brain will release chemicals of emotions of fight or flight, love, where the animal gets attached to you. It's all chemical emotions inside of a creature, an animal. That is all of this earth. That animal has a mind, a place to hold information, a place to feel things, a place of desires. That is what we call a soul. An animal has a soul, but it's made of earth. It's made of meat. It's carnal. It's of this earth. It's of this world. And when the animal dies, it disappears. Its personality just disappears. That is in every animal. Now, God has some nicknames for your outward man. some names for your outward man that aren't really nice. Carnal, outward man, carnal. He doesn't like the outward man. Old man, he calls it the old man. I'm trying to look up my list. I don't have it with me right now. There's many names he calls the outward man. But you are wearing an outward body that hasn't been saved. And it's of this earth. Meaning that you have a carnal mind, a mind of the natural made of this earth that can hold information. But it's limited to the human species. The same way I can try to get my dog to understand me, it can only understand certain things because it's limited by its species. There was one family that believed in evolution, I believe, and they got pregnant. These were two scientists, and they worked a lot with monkeys. And so they came up with a theory that if we raise our monkey, a baby monkey, next to our human baby, that the monkey will begin to go further in knowledge than other monkeys because it's environmental. We'll raise it as a human. And the experiment, for the first couple months, they found that the monkey actually excelled more than the human, their son. It was able to do things quicker, pick up things quicker, learn things quicker. Up to about 1 year, and they were getting concerned because now their child, their little boy, was acting more like the monkey than the monkey was like a human. And when it got to the young boy, began to verbalize things, use his voice and intellect to say things, to copy his parents, mama, dada, daddy, they found the monkey stopped. It couldn't go further than it was at. That monkey was limited because he's a monkey. And they actually stopped the experiment because I think they were getting concerned about their son being too much like a monkey. But they realized, okay, a monkey isn't just a monkey because of the environment. A monkey is limited because it's a monkey. It's a species that's similar to humans. And us who believe in creation don't believe we came from monkeys. So we could have told them this without the experiment. But they had to find out for themselves that humans didn't come from monkeys and monkeys aren't evolving into humans. When we went up to visit Christy's family, we took Maddie, our dog, with us. And I remember we were sitting there on the couch and one of Christy's cousins, Amanda, just gave birth to her son, who she called Elijah. And we were on the couch, and of course, Christy was holding Elijah, googling with him. Such a good boy. You're so handsome. And Maddie walked around on the floor, was jealous. And Maddie said, "What are you doing with my mom, Elijah?" And Maddie jumped onto Christy's lap and tried to get in between Christy and the baby Elijah. And so Christy, of course, pushed Maddie off and hurt Maddie's feelings. Well, Maddie tried again, and Christy said, "Maddie, get out of here, get. You know, she's protecting Elijah. And so Maddie jumped onto the couch and walked behind Christy and turned her head the other way to show her hurt feelings, trying to get Christy to feel sorry for her. And I remember I actually said this back then. I said, "I have an announcement to make. It's a sad day in the Taylor household. It's a sad day. Maddie has just discovered something that she'll never forget. Her whole life's been ruined today." I said, "Maddie has just discovered that she's a dog and that she's always only going to be a dog and will never be our child. It was a sad day in Maddie's life." See, because Maddie was a dog. As much as Maddie loved me, as much as Maddie wanted me to be her father, I can even say as much as I love that little mutt, there's a problem. I can never be her father. She can never be my child because we are different species. She's a dog. I'm a human. I could give her piano lessons. I can tell her, okay, Maddie, little girls don't go around chasing rabbits. Little girls don't bark at the mailman. Little girls don't go around sniffing other little girls' rear ends. So you need to stop this, Maddie, if you're going to act like my daughter. I can put a dress on her and call her my daughter, but she's limited by her species. She'll only be a dog. No matter how much I love her or she loves me, there's a difference. Well, when Adam sinned, he became a species of darkness, opposite of God. And as much as Adam loved God and God loved Adam, Adam could not just be accepted anymore. When God said, Adam, where are you? That's the worst verse in the Bible. Adam, where are you? Someone said, well, why didn't he just forgive Adam? You know, I forgive you. Well, he did. He forgave Adam that moment. But the problem was now Adam was a different species, a species of darkness instead of a child of light. As much as Adam loved God, as much as Adam wanted God, and as much as God loved Adam, he can never be his father anymore. Because Adam was a species that was different of God, lower than God, and he could not fellowship with him like a son and a father. It was a different species, the same way my dog is a different species than me. Adam could no longer understand God the way he did before, because now he was a species of darkness. And you were born into that species of darkness. When you were born again, how much of you was born again? Did he just give you a new nature and say, now you need to act like a child of light? It's like telling a worm, now you need to do what eagles do, without giving you the body of the mind, the body. A worm, I mean, they have intellect, they're smart, as far as worms go, but they're not as smart as an eagle. So what did God give you when he made you a new creation? The picture of the inner man, outward man says he made your inner man in righteousness. He gave you the equipment, a mind and emotions that could understand God, talk to God, fellowship with God, because you were made in righteousness. That's the importance of understanding this. And if you can see it, that I actually am a new creation, but I'm still stuck inside of this old creation, this outward body, which is a different species. It's like a worm, but I've been made an eagle and given the equipment of an eagle in my inner man. That's why I must make my outward man submit, obey my inner man, mortify the desires of the outward man, because they are still carnal. I'm hoping you're seeing this. I'm having to word it in ways I've never heard it preached quite like this. So I'm having to word it in ways that hopefully you can understand. You became a new creature, a new creation. And he didn't just give you an assignment. Here's a list of rules of how to act like a child of God. That's like me telling my dog, here's a list of rules for you to act like a child, without giving you the equipment to do it. He didn't just give you a new nature. He also brought to life your inner man, which holds a mind of the Spirit that is made of righteousness now, so you can comprehend and understand. When I tell my dog I love you, he feels it. My little puppy now feels that love. I love you, and I'll pet him, and he'll settle in. And one of them won't settle. I'll hold him. He'll fight me because he wants to go with Christy. But this one will settle in. I love you, and I'll pet him. And he can feel that love. He knows I love him. But when I tell my daughter I love you, it's much deeper. There's so much more involved with those words, with that communication. When I tell my little girl, Ava, I love you, Ava, she feels it, but there's intellect in it. There's so much more involved because we're a different species than a dog. Well, Well, your inner man is born of God. You have the ability to love God at a higher level with the love of Christ. You're able to love at a higher level than just from your outward man. So many Christians are trying to fix their outward man, conform their outward man to be like Jesus. But it's like putting a dress on a dog and saying, be like a girl. Where your inner man is born of God, you have a mind, a place of emotions that can grow and develop, and eventually you can live from that place. You can live from that because you are a new creation. I'm going to close there, get long-winded, and I'm excited to see you next session as we continue down this road of the inner man and outward man. God bless you. We'll see you soon.